And welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we are excited to bring you another week's worth of LGBT news. Anyways, the first story I wanted to talk to you about.
What's that?
Hasn't really been picked up in Canadian media, and it's not really that gay.
Okay.
And I feel like if we come across things that we want to talk about that aren't that gay, we do it first, get it out of the way.
Hopefully it's contextualized. Is it based on the fact that today is Samhain?
So, yeah, well, we're recording last week, which okay. would have been on Halloween.
Right, yeah.
So our recording date is...
Well, if you want to use the non-Irish name for it.
Yeah. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you about is that Canada is having another witch trial.
Right?
This is true.
Okay.
Because at some point, the Canadian government was like, we're going to get rid of some old laws, including the law against... pretending to be a witch.
Okay, okay.
Because you can be a witch in Canada, that's fine. If you honestly believe that you are a witch and it's an actual religion, people actually are.
This was part of the Liberals' platform, wasn't it, to get rid of all the zombie laws?
Yeah, and it's part of... They've got a couple of bills going through. Actually, I think one of the bills that they're doing to amend the justice rules is Bill C-55, and we'll get to that later. But one of the things they want to get rid of is the law pretending to be a witch.
Okay, okay.
And you're probably thinking, well, then on Halloween...
Right.
They're going to just be busting people left, right, and center.
Also, that's just like me on your average day. So, I mean...
Busting people left, right, and center or on Halloween... Or being a witch?
Being a witch,
pretending
to
be a witch.
Well, I mean, it's up in the air. If you believe in witchcraft... then I'm a witch, and if you don't believe in witchcraft, then I'm pretending to be a witch. And if you're from the 90s, then I'm spiritual.
Do you know what?
This is all actually, it just occurred to me that this actually sounds authentic, and I'm making a goof, and it sounds like I'm really the kind of person.
Do you know what amuses me is that every time Donald Trump does something, within about a few days, there is a story where a New York coven curses Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
And this guy... must have so many curses on him.
Oh, yes.
It's not... But we're not talking about actual right. witches or people who believe
in... No, we're talking
about
zombie laws. And just in case you're not familiar with that term, a zombie law is a law that's like old and dead but still in the books.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite zombie law is... So I grew up in Burlington, Ontario. Known for being the place that other famous people left in a hurry. So Jim Carrey is from there and left in a hurry. Anyway, oh, and so is Walk the Earth.
Did you say other famous people left in a hurry?
Yeah.
Which, like, implied you're one of them.
Oh, no. No, well, I mean, whatever. It's up to you. If you think I'm a famous person, then you can tweet us.
At Talk Can Queer.
Yeah, Talk Can Queer. But there's a zombie law there that you can't drag a dead horse down Brant Street during rush hour.
Well,
there's a lot of moving parts here because if you dragged a dead horse down Guelph Street, during rush hour, that might be fine. I mean, there's other sanitation laws now that would probably prevent you from
you
dragging.
Would be looking at like inappropriate disposal of animal body and like
yeah, all sorts of things. But that specific law, because there's all these other laws that make it redundant, it's from what I understand, it's still on the books.
Back to the zombie law. This zombie law has actually now become reanimated.
Okay.
So everyone's like pretending to be a witch. That's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Because you can be a witch.
Right.
So how would you pretend to be a witch?
Like, right.
This isn't just a nasty law to bust up Halloween parties. What they would actually do, it was targeting people who were pretending to be witches or psychics to defraud people.
Oh.
Yeah. So somebody recently got arrested in, I'm trying to figure out where.
So it's
it
like that cold reading, like there's someone with a P in their name, and a P in their name, and he or she or they wants to say they forgive you. And then someone's like, my Aunt Paula. And like, yes, it was definitely your Aunt Paula. That's who's talking to me for
she
sure.
She has a secret. She has a secret. You need to move 10 grand into this account, and she'll tell you what the secret is. And we laugh, but this woman in Milton was accused, Dory Medina Stevenson was a fortune, I'm air quoting here, a fortune teller.
Okay.
And she defrauded somebody of 60,000 Canadian over a period of time and was charged for pretending to be a witch.
Okay.
And then about a week later, a psychic in Toronto was also arrested for defrauding somebody who also was charged for pretending to be a witch. And experts believe that it was because it was on the news that pretending to be a witch is a crime. And then all of the police services were like, huh.
Really?
No, I would have just gone with fraud, but I mean, throw enough mud on the wall and see what sticks, you know. And yeah, so they've been, so there is actually another witch trial in Canada.
That's cool.
And it was the BBC that picked up this story. It was great.
No, I'm into it. I like it. I'd see the, do you know, I was about to say I'd see the made-for-TV movie, but there's a made-for-TV movie that I want to see even more than that, and that's The Great Maple Syrup Heist of 2015, I think it was. Where they was it, I think it was six French Canadians stole half of Canada's maple syrup reserves, at which point everybody went, oh my God, six French Canadians, of course there was some kind of like horrible plot. Wait a minute, Canada has maple syrup reserves? Wait a minute, how do you steal that much maple syrup? Like, that's like several megatons of maple syrup. You don't just stick that on a pickup truck. What were they doing? There's got to be some elaborate, like, you know, Ocean's 11 Italian job style thing with, and then we shall take the minis and then we shall go to the square. And like,
just... That was your best French Canadian accent?
No. That was like the Italian accent.
Oh, the Italian one.
Yeah. Cause
so what in your mind, if you were to recreate the Great Maple Heist,
what would
that planning scene look like?
Oh man.
I'm like, okay, Jean-Pierre, what is the plan?
This is all I know. Lots of chain smoking. And just
lots of
pot after pot of black coffee. That's what I know. All right, that's my people right there. And then a big 2-liter thing of Pepsi in the corner with the lid off, so it can slowly go flat.
Mm. Do you know what? I was hanging out with some francophones from Quebec, and they were like, "Wah!" It seems to be
wah.
I assume it was an indication of agreement.
Wah. For sure, yeah.
The things you pick up.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of things that you pick up, the Vancouver Library just picked up a massive collection of LGBT material. This is actually my relatively smooth segue to our next story.
That whole segue, I thought you were going to go into an STI. It felt like any minute... Any
He's going to talk about... You know,
chlamydia. Or supergonorrhea.
Supergonorrhea.
Okay. A massive collection
of LGBT. Actually, it was in May. It wasn't that recently.
All right.
A BC activist in Vancouver, Ron Dutton. I think we did.
Okay.
And it was a part of a conversation we had about how it's important to capture and remember and share content.
Right.
And I think in Ottawa, the Village have like their wall murals and they have a tour. Well, anyways,
there's Ron, a library thing somewhere. Yeah.
Ron Dutton had quite a substantial collection of material that he had donated to the City of Vancouver Archives.
Okay.
Now, what he had included 150 audiovisual recordings, 2,000 posters, 7,400 photographs. He had the records, which totaled over 750,000 items in his apartment. And he's been collecting since 1976. I nearly said 1776.
Okay.
I don't know. 1976. And he was like, you know what? It's only right that this material be available to the world to see. It's important that everyone have access to it. So he donated it to the library. And everyone's thinking, okay, that's a great, grand idea.
Right.
Except the library now... 750,000 items to figure out what to do with. You know, last week we mentioned that the National Canadian Gay and Lesbian Archives, the CLGA, is doing the National Portrait Series. You know?
I thought that was just the Lesbian Archives.
No, the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Archives, CLGA.
Hmm.
I think they may have rebranded now to make it not just gay and lesbian, but it is the CLGA, is the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Archives.
Okay.
By the way, folks, if you're looking for a good thing to donate to, please give these folks a little bit of loose change, bit of your money, because it is a lot of hard work to maintain these processes, and it's really expensive to make them available.
Yeah. So I know that they do get, Because we've interviewed members of the archives multiple times, and they do get some federal granting, but it's not great. So, I mean, it's anything you could do. Like, they get enough to keep the stuff from rotting, basically. They don't really, you know, keeping the lights on and actually being able to pay their archivists is a... Yeah, that's the bonus that they're asking for help for.
Well, the Vancouver Art Library... the City of Vancouver Archives, not the library, recently got $71,000 from the National Heritage Digitization Strategy of the Canadian Heritage Department.
Okay.
Bit of a mouthful. Can you imagine having program officer of blank on a business card? You'd need three business cards in a row to be able to fit it.
I would just put that on the back, and then on the front just have my name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sebastian. And then the back is just like several lines of where you work.
And then a phone number and an email.
One of the things that I wanted to mention that we had started talking about earlier, the zombie bill.
Right.
Which you mentioned earlier.
Are there more zombie bills that they're going to get rid of?
Well, one of the things they're looking at is Bill C-75. Now, Bill C-75 is an act to amend the Criminal Code, the Youth Criminal Justice Act, and other acts to make consequential amendments to other acts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Quite a mammoth of a bill.
Okay.
And really, it's one of those amending phrasing here, tightening language there. The reason why I wanted to mention it is because it was just in the Justice Committee last week, and the Justice Committee has decided to change some of the language.
Ooh.
And some of the language that they've opted to change is to remove the bawdy house provisions.
It's B-A-W-Y. B-A-W-D-Y.
Yeah, not as in B-O-D-Y, when it's just like a flancy way of saying bawdy.
Bawdy.
No, it's the bawdy house provisions. And I was like, the heck is the bawdy house?
It's just a house of ill repute.
The house of shenanigans.
Yeah, no, it's a catch-all term for all sorts of things. So traditionally a bawdy house is if they believe that a house is a stable, I think is the technical term, for a bunch of sex workers, but they can't prove that there's money changing hands, then they can hit it with a bawdy house law. Or if somebody's just running a big old orgy house and they can prove that there's a lot of like sex going on in there, they can put a bawdy house thing on that. Most of the bathhouse raids, they get hit with a bawdy house rule. But then you have people saying, look, if 20 people want to come to my apartment and take their clothes off and do stuff with each other, and people in adjacent apartments can't hear us because we're all whisper quiet when we're all doing our thing, and then we leave and nobody gets hurt, and the only people who are there, it's consensual. Why is that a bawdy house? Why is that illegal? So if they're going to redefine, if they're going to really tighten up...
Well, it's worth noting that the Supreme Court of Canada shot that down. It shot down all of the prostitution laws, if you recall... The day the prostitution became legal.
But then
the Supreme Court said, yes and no.
Yes and no.
It is no longer illegal, but it's not currently...
Legal either.
Yeah, it's no longer illegal, but until they come up with a better option, we're going to keep it.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they need to fix it. Yeah. So as of that decision, the bawdy house provision, and I air quoted again here, was effectively null and void. And they told the government, come up with a plan, give us a plan, make it work, because that one don't work.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this is a gay issue, not just because of houses of shenanigans, is because it's actually what for a long time, the police used that provision to shut down bathhouses.
I did say that. Two minutes ago.
Yeah, but it was the fig leaf use of the bathhouse raids in Toronto. It was the legal justification for many of these attacks on the gay community.
Also, I think it was 2 years ago now, we interviewed two of the ladies who started up the Sarnia Women's Helpline in the 70s, if you remember that conversation. And one of them said that whenever they had their big old lesbian potlucks in the countryside, which was only like 90% lesbian, but that's lesbian enough to call it a lesbian event. They would occasionally get with bawdy house. They'd get broken up, you know, be told to go home, and it'd be like, but we're eating ambrosia and yeah. Angels on Horseback, and you're breaking this up.
And mac and cheese.
Yeah, and there's yeah. no, there's too many homos here, so it's
becoming a house of ill repute.
It's a house of ill repute.
Yeah,
with your mostly lesbians and the two gay guys in the corner that everyone just gets along with. So why don't you invite them? Like that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the 70s was weird. It's you know disco. Will be missed by some people, but by and large, it's great that it's over.
Well, you may vaguely recall that Justin Trudeau apologized for many things. He was on it was a very long apology, and there was a lot to apologize for.
Yes.
But one of the things he apologized for is how the Canadian government and institutions created laws just to penalize the community. And he referenced the bawdy house laws.
Yeah.
Now, the government came under significant critique when they then released the bill which expunged the records of those who had convictions for sodomy and buggery.
Right.
But they omitted anybody who had convictions for operating a bawdy house.
Okay.
So they were like, there were people like, well, why are you apologizing but not doing anything about it?
Not actually doing something.
So Egal Canada was one of the ones that was like, hang on a minute, that seems a bit.
Yeah, most of the way there is not all of the way there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they have been advocating, and they actually provided witness testimony to the Justice Committee, arguing about how this act should be used to lop off the bawdy house provisions of the criminal code, because it's already needs to be, you need to do something with it. This is an act to do things that need doing done with. and the Supreme Court wants it done, right. So right. We should just do that.
Right.
Get
yeah.
it done.
That's a great assessment.
Things that need doing, getting done with. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to write down a post-it. And yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's going to be a motivational poster.
Do the thing that needs to go get done, gone, doing, done. What, I'm gonna have to re-listen to this episode and write down and possibly cross-stitch it for you to put in your front hall.
Yeah, on a frame. I'm going to frame it. Anyway, but so and the committee agreed, and it's now in there. So right. Bawdy house as a criminal offense is actually going to be removed. So
oh, that's good.
Pretty exciting that's stuff. Good.
The one thing, and this is something that I learned, I know this is definitely true in the American system, and it's true, I think it can be true in Canada, but it's not always true. When they expunge a criminal record, they actually delete or destroy the physical records themselves. But what that means is that you can't use those records to sue the government for doing bad things to you in the first place. So, I mean, it depends. Like, there are people who are sort of in limbo. They were accused of something, and they're sitting on this stuff that they just need to fill out a form and it could get expunged. So they have, like, a criminal sex record, even though they were completely exonerated. But they're like, but if they destroy the record and they remove the thing, then I can't sue anyone for not following due process. It's, yeah, hopefully, because I know that, I think Quebec has worked around that because Quebec, I mean, I really do, I think Eddie Izzard's assessment of France with relation to Europe, I think that transfers very well with Quebec relative to Canada, where all of Canada does a thing and then Quebec says, screw you, I'm going to eat this sandwich instead. So, I mean, I think that's, yeah, they're weird, but usually good weird. But hopefully, yeah, the expunging will not be done in a way so that people can't find justice. Is really what I was trying to get at.
Well, the other thing was vagrancy would also be removed.
Like, making homelessness illegal without having a good homelessness program, anti-homelessness program, I should say, is just weird. They're going to punish you for something but not help you not be that something. I don't know. It's weird.
So a lot.
How is vagrancy defined in Canada? Do you know?
Oh, I would. We'll have to look it up during the music break and get back to you.
It's going
to
be a weird definition, I'm sure.
Well, it's being addressed. Now, there's been a lot of people, you know, arguing about how this needs to be adjusted. And Egal Canada And Tom Hooper has done a lot of work on this. They actually presented on, I think it was April or May, and now the committee's made the decision to actually enact it. I think earlier I referenced that it had been more soon than that. But
That's breakneck speed for a Canadian government. Well,
you know, they probably rose for the summer, then they sit back down again in like September. So a decision in October is not unrealistic for committee work. But this is interesting because body house provisions and vagrancy laws have been used to target the LGBTQ community, and it looks like we're seeing some changes. I was not able to find the text of the Justice Committee's changes, so we will be putting in the request to actually see what the wording is that specifically addresses these changes so that we can provide more accurate information. But unfortunately, we know it happened. We know there was a meeting, but we can't see at the moment the changes to the text. So we will get that to you. Now, we're going to jump to our first song.
What's our first song?
It is Jackie Shane. And actually, it was because of that...
The archives?
The archives thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to dip into our musical archives. This is Jackie Shane, who you may or may not know was the first openly trans singer, very, very old.
In the Toronto jazz scene of the 40s, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Coming Down. It's one of the only ones still available, you know, from that time. But anyway, this is Jackie Shane, Coming Down, and we'll be back just after this. Coming down. I'm coming down, 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 down. Coming down with a heartache. I ain't sick, but I got a fever. Blood pressure running high. Clothes ain't right, I can't sleep at night. And here's the reason why. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. And just like I said I would, or Luke said somebody would and then I did it, I actually did look up the definition of vagrancy in Canada. So part B is basically just you violate laws and then it just names a bunch of other ones, so we're going to skip that part. But part A is supports himself, not himself or herself or theirself, whatever. Supports
what
himself.
What would you call a lady vagrant?
A vigrant.
A vigrantess.
Supports himself in whole or in part by gaming or crime and has no lawful profession or calling by which to maintain himself. And the interesting thing about that is I could start thinking about, like, everyone I knew who was a vagrant in uni who, like, I knew one guy who paid for university and the rent and his food and drinking and everything by gambling on FIFA. I knew more than one sex worker.
I know a lot of people who gambled all the rent on an education from Carlton. So,
so I mean, this captures a lot of people, and most of the people that they're getting are.
I mean, if you look at that as well, if you look at the fact that, you know, a ridiculous proportion of homeless people are LGBT. And this is a law that's being used to criminalize the homeless or those who are trying to find ways of supporting themselves. I would not recommend financially supporting yourself by gambling on FIFA. I feel like that's not a stable income.
He was really good at it, though. Like, when the PS4 came out, he bought it immediately and just showed up at my house and was like, do you want a PS3 and a bunch of games? And I was like, do you want $50 for that? He's like, no, I don't. No, take it. Take my PSP with it as well. And it was just like, what? I feel so bad. And he's like, no. It was like Brazil won or something. He just said, like, Brazil won. And then that was the end of the conversation.
That was all you needed to know.
Yeah. And I actually had to look at his girlfriend and be like, what? And she was just like, FIFA. And I was like, oh, I guess. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, we'll talk about Brazil a little later.
Now,
we mentioned Taiwan. Yeah, I know.
Not ideal there right now. It's not great. Yeah.
You should tell the CBC. You know what? We're going to talk about it now. So the CBC, they released a tweet. Now, whoever runs CBC Alerts is getting a lot of heat today because they released a tweet saying, Brazil's new president-elect Jair Bolsonaro is a right-winger who leans towards more open markets. This could mean fresh opportunities for Canadian companies looking to invest in the resource-rich country. Now, bearing in mind that one of the things that he has announced is that he will be essentially tearing up the protections for the Amazon rainforest.
Okay.
Which, if anyone has any idea about how the environment works, is a carbon sink. And by chopping all the trees down, it does not help the whole global warming thing.
Actually,
so that's part A. That's not even gay.
Rainforests are terrible carbon sinks. Well, wetlands and open ocean are fantastic carbon sinks. But here's the thing that gets me. They say right-winger who leans towards open markets. But right-winger, if you're on the wing, that means that you're in the right, but don't support centrist values. Like, left wing and right wing means that you're in the left and you disagree with the center. So you're, like, on the wings of the spectrum. So you can't be a little bit right wing. That's not a thing that you can be. And you can't be in the right wing and kind of be for open markets, because that's being, especially given the history of Brazil, if you're leaning towards open markets, that's a centrist value. So, I mean, whoever tweeted this is just, they need to go back to school for political science, is what I'm saying. I've studied nothing, all right? I've just watched documentaries and what's his name? Greenwald? Glenn Greenwald? He's all right, and I don't know. It's just, but yeah, no, the Brazil in general is not been ideal for the past 50 years, I'll say. It's been swinging all over the place.
This guy is not from the elite. He has been a congressman for like 20 odd years.
Okay.
But he hasn't ever been in power. He's never been directly implicated in any of the various scandals that have affected. And it was seen as the, here's a list of everyone struck by their corruption scandals.
Right, yeah.
And it was a rather small list of who wasn't. And he was pretty high on that list. So he was kind of touted as the outside candidate.
Okay.
Jair Bolsonaro has said, yes, I'm homophobic, and I'm very proud of it.
Okay.
And now in Brazil, we're seeing a massive increase in violent homophobic crimes. We're seeing the LGBT community kind of fearing for their lives. There's a great piece in The Guardian about that. And really, they're just looking, there's a great amount of fear as to what will happen to the LGBT community. And it's not just the LGBT community. Yeah. He's been anti-women. He has been anti-minorities. He's been anti-people with disabilities. He's just not a great guy.
Most of Brazil is minorities. It's a pluralistic country with, like, I think the largest group is the Hispanic, like, Brazilians of Hispanic descent, and they're only, like, 40% or something like that. Like, there's a lot of people in Brazil. They have the world's largest out-of-Japan Japanese population, and it's huge.
I feel like the CBC may need to take some lessons, and hear me out.
Right, okay.
From the federal government on how to approach these things.
Okay, yes.
So Christine Lagarde, she's the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and she released a statement saying he got elected.
Mm.
Well done, Brazil, on an election. You are really good at having an election.
Uh-huh.
It was relatively peaceful. We commend you on your electioneering. Well done, everybody. Good job.
Yeah.
Go democracy.
Yeah. Great.
Absolutely zero reference to the fact that he won it. Because he's considered to be the Trump of the tropics. People are eyeing him up as a dictator in the making. But yet the CBC is like, if you're looking to make a quick buck, that's the place to be. Now, the tweet was deleted shortly afterwards, presumably because everyone had lots of expletives to say about it. But it's kind of tone deaf.
Okay.
You know, the rest of the world is looking at this guy, Jair Bolsonaro, going like, we are very anxious about where this is going, or the impact it will have on women, the minorities, the indigenous population, the LGBTQ community. And the CBC is like, if you're a business, you can make the monies.
Mm.
Just wrong note.
It would be like saying, hey, everybody, Libya has chattel slavery. Invest in Libya.
Anyway, the mayor of Dar es Salaam, I'm having the worst day.
Okay,
The governor of the city of Dar es Salaam has created a crack squad for rounding up the homosexuals.
Okay.
Now, this is very concerning. And it's also of relevance to the gay community. And
I don't know, because last year, I think it was, we read about a sting in Kenya where they were trying to catch gay people. And it was like, it was laughably offensive. It was like they're going to play Donna Summer and then put glue traps around the speakers. It was something ridiculous like that where I don't know. Like, hopefully it's just so misinformed that people can just see it from a million miles off and just say, nope.
Well, it's not. So the guy is like, give me the names. We will get rid of them. And that's, I mean, Chechnya, there was a whole...
Get rid of them
purging
how?
Of, yeah, I know, it's very about? Serious.
Yeah.
Now, the government of Canada has... it suggests that anybody going there exercises a high degree of caution.
Uh-huh.
That is the official advice from the government of Canada regarding this, and that you should be exercising caution. Now, bearing in mind that on Monday, the governor said, give me their names, my ad hoc team will get their hands on them by next Monday.
I feel terrible saying this, but they have really cool uniforms.
They could be facing life imprisonment in Tanzania, and this is being seen as a massive crackdown. But why am I bringing this up? And I'm going to answer my own question here, because that's what I'm going to do. Is the fact that Canada gives a bucket load of money to Tanzania.
Well, probably more than one bucket.
Its High Commission is based in Dar es Salaam.
Okay.
They actually have trained 850 Tanzanian officers through the Military Training Cooperation Program.
Okay.
As well as the Peacekeeping Training Program. And they have spent 1.3 million on developing these programs. So we are going to be contacting Global Affairs Canada and finding out whether or not these 850 troops that have been trained by the Canadians are going to be taking any part in this roundup and purging of gay people in Tanzania. Because this is where Canadian money is going. Or is it? Is this where Canadian money is going?
This is high-level embarrassment, like finding out that Al-Qaeda was paid for by the Bush senior government.
Some of them were initially trained there.
Yeah. Was it Bush senior or was it Reagan? No, it was Bush senior. I think it was Bush senior. I don't know. I was like 10 at the time.
Yeah. So Canada typically gives around $130 million in financial assistance to Tanzania. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great work that needs to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Empowering women, tackling poverty. But at the same time, I think we need to be conscientious about how we approach this. And the fact that this guy is like, give me the names, we'll round them up. It should be setting off alarm bells at Global Affairs. You know what I mean? I think some of this aid, we shouldn't be training officers and pumping in ridiculous amounts of money for those officers to then be used to round up homosexuals and tossed into conditions that are thoroughly deplorable.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll be reaching out to Global Affairs Canada and the High Commission in Dar es Salaam to find out what they would suggest. I did want to note that their recommendation for LGBT people, because they have it covered, is that it prohibits, the law prohibits sexual acts between individuals of the same sex. They face up to a life. LGBTQ travelers should carefully consider the risks of traveling to Tanzania.
They do have a list of countries that you should think twice about visiting in general. And you can actually like put in your information and then it'll tell you, like, you know, if you are like a lesbian woman who is, you know, Chinese, then the following nations are generally inhospitable to such people visiting their lands. Unless you have a chaperone or something like that. But then you shouldn't need a chaperone to bloody go travel and drink a coffee in another country.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I extremely doubt that people are going to be outing tourists and tourists are going to be rounded up. And, you know, whenever I've traveled, tourists generally, anywhere at any time, aren't usually targeted unless it's terrorism and it's to make the point of, look, we can get your tourists. But they're not, I mean, and maybe petty crime, but they're not usually meddled with. So I don't think Canadians are in that much risk.
There's one exception that I could think of, and there's an entire branch of the Amsterdam police dedicated to foreigners.
But
Amsterdam's weird.
What I wanted to talk about is the fact that these are LGBT people in Tanzania. This is a country that we're ostensibly supporting, that we're providing lots of money to, that we're trying to do good in. Are we going to sit back and watch this governor round up God knows how many people?
Last I heard of Tanzania, they were talking about drought relief. Not that they had a drought now, but if I remember correctly, Tanzania is landlocked. So if a drought does hit them, they are screwed. So I know that there's a lot of work being done there for environmental support. And this, I don't know if it mentions that, but that's last I heard. And I read news sources that make other people say, where did you hear that? But no, seriously, yeah.
So who knows? Maybe some work can be done there. We will, like I said,
we should follow up.
Reaching out to Global Affairs Canada and getting hopefully a bit of a clearer picture. Now, the Canadian government is doing well elsewhere. Mm. And I wanted to talk about a tweet that came out and a Facebook post that Fierté Canada Pride posted. And this was of the Canadian mission in Taiwan, in Taipei, and the official representative in Taiwan. And what they did was they were putting up a banner, they marched in the parade, there was a whole Canadian delegation in the Taiwan parade, which is massive. The parade in Taiwan had 137,000 LGBT supporters in the Taipei parade. It is the largest pride parade in Southeast Asia.
I cannot tell what that drag queen is doing, pulling some amazing shapes while wearing a costume that is made out of amazing shapes, and I can't tell what side the front of the body is. That looks like a wild party. But no, this is very good. But I think they have a rock star in Taiwan. Look at that. video game studio. Anyway, yeah, no, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Macau, they're all kind of weird. They're sort of non-Chinese parts of China, technically. They're ethnically Chinese, but they don't identify with Chinese culture, at least not historically, because of this and that other reason.
Taiwan is not Chinese. We don't want to confuse them out of
I think it's only one-third ethnically Chinese, and then the other two-thirds is...
But it's not a part of the state of China. Taiwan is entirely self-governing, which is what I thought it was. It is the Republic of China versus the People's Republic of China. That's the difference between the two of them. But no, they are self-governing, although...
China's fascinating.
So I wanted to jump to another song. This one is Rufus Wainwright and The Sword of Damocles. Now, this is his commentary on Donald Trump. Now, as this show is going out across Canada, the U.S. federal elections midterm elections are underway.
Oh, that's today?
No. It's on the 5th of November.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. So as we go out at different dates and different times, we may or may not be on the day that that's happening. So next week, we will find out what happened, and we'll be able to let everybody know. But this is Rufus Wainwright's kind of comment on it. And it is a very Rufus Wainwright song. It's not the most, you know... catchy. But I like it. It's melodic. It's not too melodic, which I find some of his stuff to be, but it's a good song. Anyway, check it out, The Sword of Damocles, and we'll be back just after this. Raise kindness
the sword of Damocles. Just release it.
Release it.
I'm begging you on my knees.
I'm begging you on my knees.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Stilix Smith.
I am Sebastian.
And we are bringing you the latest LGBTQ news. Now, we are coordinating an interview with a trans advocate out in the East Coast, a friend of ours who has moved out there.
Right.
And hopefully we'll get that interview up and running, ready for next week's show. Really exploring this issue in more depth, the idea of why it's important to tackle this erasure. But one of the things that Faye Johnson has raised is the fact that, you know, the Canadian government claims, and Trudeau has claimed, and others have claimed, that it's not just about protecting trans rights in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about standing up for trans rights abroad. You know, moving the message of tolerance in many conversations. And I feel like Tanzania would be a perfect starting point. But Faye Johnson has really narrowed in on Trump and believes that Justin Trudeau needs to condemn Trump for his attacks on trans rights. Now, I think that that Donald Trump is a petulant child, and if he was condemned by a foreign leader, we would end up having tariffs slapped on us because that seems to be the conduct of the Trump government. So I don't know if this really is the best approach, but doing nothing isn't really doing anything either.
Yeah, you know? It's not.
It's not showing any leadership on the international stage. So I don't know. It's interesting. What do you think? What do you think Canada should do?
On the one hand, I think it's pretty arrogant to say that Canada is the world leader because we're so enlightened and no one else is as enlightened as we are. But on the other hand, like, the Trudeau government did make a promise that that's going to be something that they're going to focus on. So, I mean, from the perspective of they said they would do it, then yeah, absolutely. Specifically, I don't know, a lot of people saying that Canada should be the world leader. I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, Canada should be a part of team of world leaders. Because, like, the Dutch and the Danes...
Go team go.
Go team go. Because, you know, the Dutch and the Danes, and to a smaller degree, a few other
Dutch
countries...
The Dutch Prime Minister was here last week, week before.
Yeah.
To meet with the Prime Minister, talking about stuff like LGBT rights and advocacy.
We're part of a team. Team. So to say that we must lead the world, but... It is valid to say he made a promise, and this is, he said he would do this thing. He's not doing that thing.
Sucks to your ass, Mark. We are saying something by saying nothing.
Yeah.
In this case.
Also that, yeah.
And I think that that's a really important sentiment. Anyway, we'll be keeping an eye on the story. As I mentioned, we will be following up with an interview with the Trans Advocate out in the East Coast, doing some really great awareness-raising stuff there. Now, the last story that I want to share with folks.
Right.
Do you remember the gay penguins that stole the egg?
Well, they picked up an abandoned egg, but yes.
Well, no, they were like, this is a delinquent parent. This is now my egg.
Yeah.
Yoink.
They grabbed it because the parent just wandered off.
Yeah. So anyway, the gay penguins, they've now hatched the little penguin, and it's now alive. So Sven and Magic are the two gay penguins.
Oh my god.
And Svenjik was the name of the baby penguin.
They're
trying to come up with a new name.
No, Svenjik is no, not a name. Not hashtag, possible.
Hashtag Svenjik.
No.
So anyway, this is just, I feel like this was a nice bit of news to end on.
I vote on Mortimer.
That the little egg that the gay penguin stole at the zoo has now been born into Svenjik.
No.
And apparently they are very good penguin parents.
Well, yeah.
The zoo is like, they are exemplary as penguin parents.
Yeah. So. They do that all the time when adopted kids grow up and they start trying to look for their bio parents. A lot of agencies are like, chances are you don't want to find them. Like, historically, it's worked out that your adoptive parents are going to be way better. And, oh, is that the picture? They're so cute. It looks like they're holding hands. Yeah. He's gently touching his butt in that one.
Yep, so Svenjik is doing well, and that is all we have time for.
That's not his name. His name, I reject that. No.
I'm pretty sure it's Svenjik.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be it. Anyway, this is Blair Sinclair off of that RuPaul Drag Race with the new song Irresistible. And we'll be back next week with less penguin-related news, but hopefully just as interesting.
Hopefully as much penguin-related news as possible, because that means we've been having troubles finding bad news. So if we had an entire penguin episode...
We found so much bad news, but I feel like everybody just needs to know about penguins. Anyways, I've been Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian, and thank you very much for listening.
Show me how you like to move.
You like it, like it. You like it, like it.
Ride the roller coaster. Tonight we're gonna break the rules.
You like it, like it. You like it, like it. Yeah.
Breathe me in, cause baby, I'm your oxygen. Addicted to me, keep on coming back again. Intoxicated on a high adrenaline. You want me, I know it, so come on and show. Illusion, I'll make it your reality.